A lack of affordable housing is a growing problem in Central Ohio. Experts say Columbus needs about 54,000 additional units to serve low-income families. This spring, Columbus voters will decide whether the city should borrow $50 million for affordable housing. But it's not always clear how those efforts work. In the first of a two-part series, we'll look at how affordable housing dollars flow to developers.
So this is all going to be there. A living area, like I said, and then if you walk over here, we got the master bedroom down here on the first floor.
In Linden, Matthias Menarch is leading a group of about half a dozen Habitat for Humanity volunteers putting the finishing touches on a home.
You can see it actually gets a garage as well, and big property for this one here, so they have a big play area if they have kids.
Affordable housing is a nagging problem throughout the country. The federal government defines low income as a household earning 20% less than the local median income. In Columbus, low income for a family of four is $61,000 a year. Now, to get to affordable housing, that family should spend no more than a third of its income on utilities and rent or mortgage payments. That comes to only about $1,500 a month. But many households can't even afford that. EJ Thomas heads up Habitat's Mid-Ohio branch.
We're the only game in town for home ownership for 30 to 60% area median income folks. Nobody else is doing that. We have mortgages at 0%, so they can afford those homes.
Funding comes from a variety of sources, but much of it originates with the federal government and flows through the state or the city. Thomas emphasizes SHOP funds, a pool of federal dollars limited to nonprofits that Habitat uses to help prepare sites. The city doesn't control those funds, but Frank Sasso, president of Kaufman Development, explains the city offers similar support to for-profit developers, too.
You know, streetscape improvements, sewer improvements, signalization of intersections, and in other cities, you know, developers may have to somehow foot the bill for that, which means higher rents, whereas in the city of Columbus, for the right type of project that includes affordable housing and includes a significant community impact, the city is able to step up and contribute.
But Columbus leaders have faced criticism over their deals with for-profit developers, particularly when it comes to tax abatements. A city commission study noted tax breaks in areas like the Short North were too generous. A revamped abatement plan introduced last year reserves 20% of units in those neighborhoods for lower earners in exchange for a tax break. But it also lets builders buy their way out of those requirements. What's more, developers like Kaufman often aren't building true affordable housing. Their building was known as workforce housing. It's below market rate, but it serves people making more than the federal low-income standard. Sasso says they are working on other ways to support affordability, like a partnership with Homeport, a local nonprofit developer using low-income housing tax credits.
What's challenging about those projects in an urban context is it's very difficult to make parking work. The low-income housing tax credit, the federal sort of subsidy, doesn't provide enough support to build the quality project that you need to build in addition to some sort of a structured parking.
Sasso says they're hammering out a deal to share the parking structure at a Franklinton development in exchange for nearby infrastructure improvements from the city. On the south side, Reverend John Eggers Community Development for All People has been working on affordable housing since 2005.
We were looking around the neighborhood, and there are a lot of vacant, blighted properties, and it just seemed as if wouldn't it be great if those properties could be fixed up and people would have better places to live.
Since then, they've teamed up with Nationwide Children's Hospital, and they've received a designation giving them access to federal funds that flow through the state or the city. Edgar's organization has also worked with the land bank to acquire those vacant homes cheaply. But he says their most important source of support comes from city bond funds.
The sole source of truly city money that comes to us in housing development, I'm talking about other groups, is bond funds. So it's bond funds, it's federal dollars that are passed through, and it's the unique and an essential benefit of what the land bank can do.
Voters will consider a new round of borrowing focused on affordable housing this May. Nick Evans, WOSU News.